Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining me at this time is a friend of mine, Thomas Quain, creator, director, and animator of the web series titled Poxy Bleeding Shop. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going? It's fantastic to be here, Matt.
I'm doing pretty well. These are crazy times.
It's great to be here, yeah. They are crazy times.
These are crazy times. It's been a year since we last talked, and the world is a different place. It seems like it was a lot longer ago.
Yeah, absolutely. The idea of time is just a very strange thing now, and everything which was normal and everything you took for granted is changed.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were talking about it earlier. We're actually recording this interview on Paddy's Day, and we didn't even know, because we just figured, you know, it was a normal Wednesday. We didn't even realize.
Just a Wednesday, yeah.
It was the most important day.
Yeah, but it's perfect. It's perfect in a way, talking to an Irish person. So
exactly, yeah. So, Tom, we should tell the listeners, you and I have actually known each other for a while, for years.
We have.
We went to film school together. Yeah, yeah.
We shouldn't hide this fact.
Exactly. Went to film school together ages ago in Galway, long story short. And I've always thought this, you were always probably the most talented of the bunch.
Well, I think there was a lot of talented people, but yeah. I think I was definitely the most, stubborn person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That too. Well, since then, you have been creating all sorts of filmmaking projects between live action, fiction features, documentaries, and animation. The latter is what we will be focusing on and talking about today. And we will be specifically talking about your animated series, Poxy Bleeding Shop. Now, for those unfamiliar with it, how would you introduce it?
So Poxy Bleeding Shop is a 2D animated series that is a comedy, and it follows the staff in an off-license in a rough area of town in Ireland. And it's about the off-license and the staff and the colourful characters that frequent the shop. It's a web series, and the themes in the series are alcohol abuse, homelessness, and the importance of community.
Now, this is an international radio, so here's a silly question. What are the definitions for the terms poxy and bleeding here?
that's a very good question. That term is very much a colloquial expression in Ireland, where anything that you're frustrated or annoyed by, you say poxy bleeding job, or in this case, because we were in the shop, it's based on a true story where I was working the off-license, we would frequently say to each other every time something awful happened in the shop, we would frequently say to each other, oh, poxy bleeding shop.
So this story, I mean, is inspired from personal experience.
It is, unfortunately.
Right.
I think I've taken a liberty with some of the story, but I think I've tried to remain very true to the characters. So yeah, so I worked in the in and off license. And it was kind of in a rough area of town for a couple of months. While it was very difficult and very frustrating, I think out of that I was kind of inspired that, gee, while this is a terrible situation, there's a great story here in terms of the amount of issues you can be talking through one location. So the kind of goal was to say that, to kind of talk about a community through a shop, and through the shop, which sold alcohol, you could kind of be addressing these issues like homelessness, like alcohol abuse. But obviously those are very heavy issues. So I think the injection of comedy was very important. There were two seasons. So the initial season I made in 2018, just after I finished working there, was very much a personal expression of a personal experience. And it was a bit like art therapy in a way, where you're kind of figure out how do I deal with this situation. It was kind of me attempting to make a commercial project, but also it was making art in response to try and understand how I feel about it. I suppose it's a kind of coping mechanism as well, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Was that a drive when you first started to basically teach yourself how to do animation? Because I remember years ago when we were studying in GMIT, there was no animation course, as far as I can remember anyway. So you basically taught yourself.
I think there is an animation course on the course since then, but that's only because animation has become quite a big thing. But yeah, no, I taught myself the animation program, or I always had that the passion and interest in animation. And I think just I was always looking for a project or a story that I could do through animation. And I think just when I was in the shop, I felt just that there was an interesting opportunity here to take up animation. And if I was doing it through live action, it would be a lot harder, be harder, because you would have to, you know, find a place to film in terms of an off license, get a location. And obviously I couldn't do it where I was working, because that would just be adding insanity to insanity. And then because it's kind of an ensemble, a cast, because there's a number of people who come in and out of the shop, of the customers, you would have had to get a lot of cast. And it just seemed like live action wasn't the way to go. So I felt strongly that animation was the way to go. And I did it. It's hard to explain what the drive was. I guess I wanted to be doing it, so I did it.
Yeah. Well, it was just another way, I guess, to express yourself through another filmmaking language. Because, like I said, you're also filming live action stuff and documentaries too. So it is another language, I guess.
Yeah, and the live action, be it a feature or a short or a documentary, they're different forms, and I think the mediums allow you to do different things, but the web series as well was kind of perfect, I felt. I never even thought of making it a short. There were so many stories and so many things happened there. It seemed very much perfect for the episodic nature of a web series. So that was the way I always wanted to go with it.
Yeah. And so when you first started to kind of, as we said, sort of teach yourself how to do animation, was it just a matter of you sitting in front of a blank page with some pencils? What was that like?
It was all computer. It started off like when I was in the job, I was doing some drawings in the job on the back of receipts and stuff. I would just draw people in their costumes, maybe their hairstyle, maybe some dialogue, because I realized very quickly the dialogue was so rich and so amazing. So very often I would have a computer screen open, you know, a tab open where I'd have a till on one tab, and then I'd have another page open where I'd be taking down some of their words and dialogue before I was even thinking of a web series. I was just thinking the way they're speaking is so interesting and so amazing. But I gradually built up so many drawings of the kind of the hair, of the clothes, so many pages and pages of dialogue. I must have had 20 or 30 pages just of dialogue without any plot, just loads of dialogue and quotes. And I just sat down, I started drawing. Well, I was in Dublin in that time in 2017, and I went out of Dublin in 2018, and I studied animation in Cardiff. But I feel very strongly that I taught myself a lot, as it was a master's and it was very much a hands-off thing. But what they did was they would give me kind of nudges in the way I could form the story on that course. But I was over in Cardiff for a year from September to May, somewhat on my own, and just spending all day in front of a computer. It was all a computer. It was all drawn on a pad, and I animated on the Adobe programs.
And so in terms of influences, is there anyone that you look up to in terms of animation style, but also in terms of this satirical narrative style that sort of defines Poxy Bleeding Shop?
Is it satirical? I don't know. Is it?
I find it is, yeah. Satirical comedy.
Yeah.
Dark
maybe
satirical comedy.
It is definitely is dark, and it's satirical in that it is contemporary. It's not, you know, nostalgic at all. It's very much set in the present, like some episodes of South Park, maybe, as that became less or less about, you know, timeless stories, and it became more, the satire took over in South Park. But that was a big influence. South Park was another one that was a big influence, was the big Les Show, which is an Australian animation that was produced by a guy on his own in Australia. And he just produced certainly three, but maybe four or five seasons. And he actually made a film of the big Les Show as well. And that was very much like Poxy Shop, what all of us were trying to do, in that it was very much a personal expression of the world. And I think our series is that as well. I also enjoyed, while it was on, but it stopped recently, which is, I was kind of sad to hear, is Kim's Convenience on Netflix, which was the story of a small shop in a kind of small underrepresented community. And I was sad to see that finish recently. I love, but that's not animation, but it's just a good series, and it kind of have the storyline in common. And I love Bob's burgers as well. That's just great in the family and community aspect. But I don't think we took a lot from that. But it's just a great animation.
Tom, how long did it take you to work on the series?
So at the moment, there are two seasons of Poxy Bleeding Shop. So the 2018 season, which I think actually came out in 2019 or the end of 2018 or the start of 2019, that took the 6 months that I was in Cardiff for. And then season two started production. Let me try and get my facts straight here. So I initially started writing the scripts in summer 2019, because before any animation done, obviously you need to write scripts. And when I finished the first season, there was just a lot of ideas left over, a lot of characters left over, a lot of situations left over. So I initially finished the scripts in about summer 2019, and I started doing some tests for season two in about September 2019. But at the time, you know, everything was normal and I was working a full-time job. I was doing some teaching and filmmaking, and I was working a normal retail job. And but anytime I would have a day off, I would go to the local library and plug in there and just animate as much as I could. And my plan was just to have it done by January or February 2020. But I remember thinking by around November 2019 that I was really concerned that I wasn't getting as much done as I thought I would, which is no surprise really, because I can see looking back I was busy, but also B, more importantly, that it wasn't up to the standard that I really had in my head. So that was anyway November. Christmas came and went, you know, I was busy with jobs, busy buying presents and family and Christmas and all that thing. But I said to myself in January that I would really do it a lot more and try and really buckle down to it in January as my job hours were going down. But then in January, there was an election on. Well, there was an election on start of February, but I was doing a documentary when I was chatting to you. So I was doing that over the course of January and February on the Irish election. And while I was shooting that and kind of going around the country, doing a bit of traveling, interviewing people and filming it, I remember thinking in the back of my head, like, geez, I really need to get back to this animation that I've kind of promised myself I would be finishing right now. And then, well, you know, like a lot of people, everything changed for me in March, like it changed for everyone else. When the pandemic hit in the middle of March, my teaching finished overnight, my job closed, and I was just suddenly at home every day. And it's really when the animation started in full. So I would just be at home, sitting down, table chair, cup of coffee beside me, and I would animate from maybe 10 in the morning to maybe 11 in the evening. And I got another job then, and all that continued really from March to August. And it really only finished then. And I kind of worked another part-time job for a while in September to Christmas 2020. But then I went back on the animation. I was trying to do a shot every afternoon when I would come home. But the animation really only got done in January and February 2021 when I went back on it full time. Do you know what I mean? That was quite a long answer now, sorry.
No, but it sounds like, but that kind of gives an idea of what a crazy year it's been. And also,
yeah,
it sounds like that,
yeah,
having that animation process, having that animation project might have even helped you from maybe just going a bit crazy with everything that was happening, with the instability of it all.
Absolutely, yeah. I was lucky, as I was said, that I had started the tests in September and I had about 10 minutes of animation, but it's not in the finished series. It's just, it's people who are walking across the screen. It's me playing around with colors, with the backgrounds. And the fact that I had done that for three or four months before the pandemic really gave me a grounding that when the pandemic hit, I didn't feel I was just jumping into a project because I had time on my hands. It was much more of a case that, okay, now I have the time that I needed to be doing this project. And yeah, it could have been a very frustrating 12 months from March 2020 to March 2021, where we are now. But I feel like I managed to pull something out of it, which is cool. So I'm proud of that.
And you've also got an interesting voice cast here.
Yeah, so we do have an interesting cast. Season one, like I said before, was very much a personal expression of a personal experience. It kind of felt logical to me, even though it didn't seem make a lot of sense to other people. But it made sense to me that I would do all the voices for season one because it was just such a personal experience. And it was very much a rough series where I didn't feel I could justify bringing in other people when the series was at kind of an early stage of development. But if I did a second season, which was always the goal, by the way, because I always want to improve what I did in season one, but I always wanted to bring in more cast. So in season two, there's something like 6 or 7 people. So I have a mixture of people who I've worked with before and I have people who I've never worked with. So my friend Aidan J. Collins, who was in a play of mine, he voices three characters. He does the voices of the guards, Foley. He does the voice of the guards and he does the store manager. Bernard Casey, who's a great comedian from Kerry here in Ireland, does the voices of Brian, one of the store assistants. Coleman Hayes, who was in some of my short films back in college, he holds actually the record. He voices 4 voices, I think. He does the voices of Bono, of Brendan, who's one of the local alcoholics, as well as some of the alleyway thugs, Craig and Greg. Emma Doran, who's a very well-known Irish comedian who's played in places like the O2 and Vicar Street in Dublin. She plays the character of Celine. Carl Spain, who's very well-known in Ireland for doing shows on RTE and playing comedy gigs, does the voice of Liam, who's a homeless character who lives outside the shop. And it was important, by the way, for me to have a homeless character as one of the lead characters. As like I said, excuse me, homelessness was one of the key themes, and to have a character who was homeless, but also a character who you could invest in and who you felt was a real character and you could believe was a real character. So he plays a homeless character who lives in a phone box outside the shop. Who else do I have? I have a list here just now, I'm going through it. Mark McCauley, who is in another short film of mine, but is a great actor and has done some of his own plays since then. He plays the mystery man who is owed some money from the previous owner of the shop. Owen Colgan, who's very well known again in Ireland. He's on Irish TV and he's a very, very funny guy. He plays the role of Eddie, who's a local drug dealer, who is also a crocodile. So there is a kind of element of surrealism in there.
Yeah, definitely.
And just final 2 or 3 names is another very extremely popular comedian and writer, by the way, who was in the RTÉ series The School, is Tadhg Hickey, who plays a cheeky seagull who torments a lot of the locals. And he also plays the role of Joey, who is an alcoholic and who is also a banana. And Valerie Lynch plays the role of Emily, who, how would you describe her? Well, she runs the community centre in the area and she also holds a grudge against a lot of people in that community as well. So it was a big cast, yeah.
And finally, Tom, when and where will people be able to see the show? And is there any way that people can keep up with the news about the series?
Absolutely. So Poxy Bean Shop Season 2 comes out tomorrow, actually. The very first episode is tomorrow, which is March the 18th, Thursday. And so there are 7 episodes and they're going to be put out every Thursday from the 18th. So it'll be basically on the 18th, the 25th. The 1st and the 8th and the 15th. And I think the 22nd then is the last episode. And it can be followed on Facebook, just type in Poxy Bleen Shop. We're on Twitter, Poxy Bleen Shop. And there's Instagram as well. But Facebook and Twitter are the main places. And there is, you can follow there. And I also made a series of some vlogs over the summer and September and October. So if you want to learn more about the background, the making of it, you can check out those vlogs as well.
Yeah, those are very interesting. Yeah, they're vlogs basically that kind of reveal how you were able to get this all to come together. Very interesting stuff.
Mm.
All right, Tom. Okay, so is there anything else that you're working on at the moment?
Well, I'm, you know, because we're coming to the end of this, well, we're doing, there are a couple of things we're doing. The first thing is we're trying to get other people interested. We feel interested in the project, people maybe who might be interested in supporting the project. So we feel we have a commercial project which has something to say. So we've applied to RTÉ and to TG4 looking for support. And we're also maybe looking to someone like Channel 4, which would be fantastic because we feel we have a commercial project. And the other thing is we're developing another series, another Irish-centred series, because we feel that's our strong point, to develop original material which is Irish and which hasn't been seen before, because there's not a lot of adult Irish animation in Ireland. So we feel that's kind of a gap in the market, to use a cliched expression, that we want to kind of explore a bit more of.
Tom, it's been a pleasure talking with you. So best of luck with the series. Matt, I remind the listeners, it's called Poxy Bleeding Shop. Check that out. Thanks very much, Tom.
Thank you, Matt.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.